One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. If you have experienced grief, you will be familiar with the cycle that comes with it. Bargaining, anger, denial, acceptance, etc. We all have different ways of coping. Some are ultimately more beneficial than others, but in the end, all of them become a wonderful lesson for future. My guest, musician Tamzin, and I are discussing all this and more today. Okay, so we're going super, super recent this week. May 2023. It's recent. We all know. We were all there. But if my guest today, there was something pretty enormous that happened, and we are situated on the Black Isle, in Scotland. And in this moment, Tamzin, why do you think you've got no friends?
Well, that's, yeah. So May 2023 was like the highest and the lowest I've been, mm-hmm. all in one month.
Yeah.
I'd just come off the road touring with an amazing act called Katie Melua.
Oh my God. This is the closest thing to crazy I've ever been.
That's the one.
Oh.
And how many bicycles are there in Beijing?
Lots.
9 million. Apparently. Well, apparently that's actually not true, but that's
I should have known that. That's amazing. Okay, so you come off of the Katie Melua, the legend that is.
Yes, that was amazing. But like actually had been a big, big grind to kind of show up for that tour and show up every night. And I'd gone back up to the Highlands to be with my stepdad, who was at the end of like a year-long terminal illness. And I think losing him, you know, without going into the concept of the afterlife, losing him from this chapter of life was just, I think, the accumulation of a lot of struggle, a lot of change, a lot of grief. And I think that's, although recent, and definitely have worked over the last couple of months to deal with it, was the lowest I've ever been. And I think over the course of the last year, have definitely been dealing with that in not great ways, pushing people away and then being like scrambling to like bring them back into my life, because I realized that's not a healthy way to deal with difficult emotions.
It's not, but it's also, it's when we are so out of control, when there is this thing that we cannot control, often we turn it onto things that we like, that we feel like we can. And
often the way that we try and control things is like really unhealthy and quite damaging. And I've done it over and over and over again. It always transfers onto something different. But it's just, it is literally a coping mechanism. It's just a coping mechanism. But those, I think it's the partnership of extreme highs and extreme lows in the space of that month. So how recently had you been touring when you came back to Scotland? Was it literally straight away?
It was literally straight away. So yeah. it's to give you more context, Campbell, my stepdad, was he came into my life when I was like 4 years old.
Yeah.
So it's very, very little.
Mm.
And he's been one of the biggest champions of me and my music and my dreams, you know, all throughout my life. He was the one who would like take me to music lessons and come to my orchestra concerts. So he was really, 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 really supportive of this tour, and he really wanted me to do it, which was a really big internal battle for me, because I really wanted to obviously honor that and make him proud and do the thing that I'd set out to do. And it is a big deal, you know, these kinds of tours don't come along all the time. But yeah, I literally came off the road and had kind of a week with him in hospital. So part of me thinks that it was, you know, he was really holding out, which is beautiful in a way. I think his last like gift to me was just that time.
Good on you, Campbell.
Good on you, Campbell.
Good on you, Campbell.
He did well.
Yeah. But what a trooper, honestly, at that point. Yeah. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah. He was just hanging out and waiting for me to come home.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like a big kind of, it was a big release at that point.
Yeah.
And everything kind of for the last few months had been very pent up, you know, like I couldn't even tell you. And I'd had people express to me that, you know, I hadn't really been myself, but also sometimes you just don't have the capacity to deal with that.
No.
You know, someone's coming to you with honesty and being like, you've hurt me here, or you're not being yourself, or are you okay? And you don't have the tools and the words in that moment to explain yourself.
It's like it's a bit of a shutdown dissociation.
Yeah.
It's what I found. And I've often described it as like things hitting you at slow motion.
Mm.
You just like, I don't know how to respond.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't have the energy to do the appropriate thing here. The thing that we know that we're supposed to do to be able to listen, digest it, pause before not reacting with emotion. But when you're in that state and being like, I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's so awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's so awful. Because it's not that you don't want to. It's not that you like don't want to, you know, respond to that person or respond to the situation. It's just like, I just can't.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's awful. But that, I mean, with performing, it is for all of those listeners out there who are, you know, artists in whatever capacity, we know the like extreme high that performing generates, and that it's like this, and I've often described with acting before, it's being an actress is almost like being in an abusive relationship a lot of the time, because you have these like moments where it is indescribable, the beauty, the experience, things that are just incredible, and people are excited that you're there, and you're like, I am, oh my, I am amazing.
Incredible.
I'm literally incredible. Like, I am so pretty.
So talented.
And like, people are pretty excited that I'm here. And then like, literally the next day, they're like, and it shuts down. And you're like, wait, what? But yesterday I was so important.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get addicted to these highs, and doing a show. I've done sort of long running plays and things like that, and the like, it's sort of like living on different stratosphere. You're living in a different. It's not normal life. It's not the basic. It's not the baseline thing. It's above that, and then coming from that to a place of something that is so real and so fuck, what is the, like, it's primal, I guess. So
very raw.
Very raw, mm-hmm. inevitable, mm-hmm. something when you're dealing with something like death. Mm-hmm. To come from that, that juxtaposition, that switch yeah. must have just been blinding. Like,
yeah,
I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's such an amazing way to put it. It was rough for sure. Like, kind of felt definitely kind of like plummeted down, back down to earth. Yeah. Literally,
it's like the rapture. It's like you're getting taken up. Wait, what? What's up, God? Like, yeah. you're coming there, and then they go boom, and you cut down by earth. Yeah. It's what's up, God?
It's hard to navigate as well because, like, obviously, you put a lot of your life. I'd actually done again. It's so difficult because I'd put so much into planning this tour obviously I'd known Campbell was ill. He'd been ill for a year, but I put so much independently into this tour. I'd brought on photographers for different shows and I really wanted to create a special moment out of it. So there was also this part of me that was like sharing my joy and excitement and gratitude for being on this tour and really trying to share that with the people who are following me, who like weren't at these shows, because obviously I was playing to Katie's audience, not my audience.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to share these moments. But then, you know, I would come off stage and I'd be posting these pictures on social media. Mm-hmm. And then I'd also be sending them to Campbell.
Yeah.
And I'd be calling him and I'd be like, how are you doing? And like trying to tell him about the day and like let him into a little bit of that experience whilst also literally very physically dealing with that sadness. It was very strange and I felt very torn, you know, with sharing this tour and then also, you know, not really sharing everything. It's difficult because I didn't want to share what I was going through.
Yeah.
It was like it's just very personal.
It's very personal and it's like almost too far removed. It's too real, it's too tangible, it's too almost like frightening, and especially if there are people like following who kind of Mickey's joined the chat, everybody. If there are people following who want to like be excited by your journey and be excited by this tour, it's a really difficult road to navigate that. And I imagine, and it's kind of really, I would say a great example, but you know how so often everyone's like on Instagram, it looks very different. It looks like one thing.
Yeah.
It's often not the case. So, you know, everybody tell you beans, you don't necessarily want that person's life right now. Mm-hmm. And to know that there is this thing that is bubbling away underneath you and the same picture that you have is being used in two very different ways.
Two different places.
Yeah.
Exactly.
For different purposes. And it's kind of beautiful in like a big way because it can exist in both ways, but it's hard.
It can, yeah. I really admire people who show everything in a way that they want to help to deconstruct this kind of perfect world that we live on social media. And I think my way of trying not to be part of the problem is like, you know, being honest where, you know, not putting out my life is perfect, everything is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Putting out this was a beautiful moment, I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
And then also sharing, you know, okay, now I'm writing really sad songs.
Yeah.
That's because life is also difficult. Yeah. So yeah, I think I learned a lot about you know, how I want to show up for myself in real life and then also how I want to show up for people who are following along for my musical journey, which is important to keep separate, you know, as artists, like have that little bit of barrier. It's like, I don't need to let everybody into this thing.
100%.
That's super overwhelming for me, even just on a personal level.
Yeah. Because, you know, everyone... Who knows that opinions are like assholes and everybody's got one, but it's like that you suddenly, a lot of the time when you put something out, you then get this sort of influx of messages of people either giving their opinion or giving their advice or giving their thing. And so, most of the time, guys, it is a wonderful thing. But every so often there's someone who goes like, why are you fucking complaining?
Yeah,
like,
literally.
I really don't need... Derek, I don't. Derek. Fuck's sake, Derek.
I'm sure there are some nice Derek's out there.
Oh, yeah. Lovely Derek's. But there's like, whoever, particular buzz on Instagram is like, who's like, why are you complaining? Just like, forget about it. And it's like, yeah. So weird with
trauma. Where's that coming from? Are you okay?
I like, I hate you, but let's just take a little step back and just like dissect what's happening here. I mean, I guess how long was the tour in its entirety?
It was it was 3 weeks altogether.
Okay,
yeah. So I'd been up, yeah. So first week, and then I actually went to the Highlands. I made it from Bournemouth to Dingwall.
Why the fuck is Dingwall?
It's like close-ish to Inverness. It's like just north of Inverness. Have I heard of
Dingwall?
Oh, well.
Dingwall, guys.
I know. It's quite a funny name, actually. Dingwall.
Dingwall.
I made it up there in like 6 hours.
Shit.
Which I'm quite impressed with.
That's my girl right there.
Yeah. I was like, it was honestly like a scene from a movie, but I did go up on a day off and then I came back down, joined the tour in Glasgow, and then... Mm. Yeah, two more weeks that I spent on the road, which isn't that long, but when you're
in a situation like that, it's not hours matter, minutes matter.
Yeah,
it's people go, oh, I'm going on tour for 6 months, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and everyone goes, oh yeah, 6 months is nothing, it's done. But when you are dealing with something else, like time works in a very different way.
Yeah, I think. Exactly. Yeah. I think it will be one of those things I look back on and may feel differently about in a year or 2 years' time. I think it was a real lesson for me in like, I guess, yeah, control. Like you mentioned earlier, I kind of am a control freak. Mm-hmm. I've always been quite, you know, people say the way people would talk about me is like sunny disposition, you know? Strong, good at dealing with things, you know. Yeah, she'll be okay. Well, she's going through a lot, but like she'll be fine.
Absolute opposite. They're like, don't go near her. She's a time bomb.
Don't touch her, she'll melt.
No.
I mean, to be fair, like I think that probably that's a far more realistic way of talking about like all of us, right? Because I don't feel that way about myself, but that's how people perceive me. So it was quite a big moment of deconstructing, like, okay, I don't need to be what other people perceive me as right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to be okay right now.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I actually am, you know, it's just not all right.
It's just not
this
okay.
This is just not okay. And all of the things that happened before in my life as well, it just became kind of a channel for sinking into that for a second.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like... totally allowed.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult when we are going through something that is so big. It's almost too big to comprehend when it's actually happening. It's like trying to imagine how big the universe is. It's like, no, I just can't go there.
Yeah.
The having to deal with that, and then also just like having to deal with everything else and baseline needs and how you're reacting to situations, how you're reacting to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's impossible.
Mm.
It's absolutely impossible. And even that's it had been a year up until this time.
Yeah.
And during that time, how did you, in the lead up to it, how did you cope? How was that for you, the year sort of preceding this moment?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
How did I cope? To be concise, like a lot of things changed in one. So
yeah.
I got this news and it's like everything kind of like changed.
But was it like, I'm sorry to interrupt, when you got this news, did you sort of... because I know when often really big things happen and when we hear big things and we know that something kind of momentous is coming, we then transfer onto other bits of life going, what can I change to make the situation? Yeah, 100%.
That's exactly what happened.
Yep, absolutely fine. Yep. I've done it time and time again. Completely fine.
And I don't think like, I don't look back and think I made huge mistakes. I think that probably a lot of the feelings about other aspects of my life were genuine and it wasn't like, I wasn't wrong. It was just that it was a very severe way of dealing with this news.
But you also kind of work out what's really important to you.
You do.
And you work out, you know, time and you go, okay, I need to make some decisions and create as the best life possible.
Yeah.
And suddenly when something really big happens, you go, what the fuck am I waiting for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exactly true. And I think that was, that kind of fueled my summer. I played something like 14 music festivals, like little shows, like in all over the UK and then also in Europe, and, you know, drove myself for the first time to these festivals. I passed my driving my driving test and things
still
like that.
Still gotta do that, guys. I believe really I hard. Genuinely believe I'm saving lives by not being on the road.
Really?
I genuinely believe
to
it.
To be fair, like in down here, you definitely don't need it. I feel like it was hard. I did fail first time, but I did an intensive course.
That's what I want to do.
That. Yeah, yeah. Would recommend.
Or the automatic or the both of them.
Shout out Amdi. I did manual.
Did you?
Yeah, did manual.
Superhero.
Which
you bloody superhero.
But then you can like rent manuals, can't you? And you can like drive any car, yeah, right?
That is true. That is that it is the any car route.
Yeah, it's the any car route.
I'm like, I'd quite like it if I could just sort of press a button and
I'm
it did
one
everything
of those
for
people
me.
Who's like, I don't need to get it because I'm like 5 years old yep. driving themselves.
Self-driving is coming, everybody.
It's on its way.
Self-driving is coming. And then you better watch out.
I will
out.
Be on the road.
Then I watch out.
Yeah.
Do you play, do you have musicians who work with you, or do you
oh shit.
Do you play all your own stuff?
So yeah, so I did tour with a band towards the end of last year, which was amazing.
Really?
But the whole summer was just me and a keyboard and a guitar. So it was solo. So it was like solo travel, solo shows, which was incredible. And I think I was very clear I was just going through something. You
yeah.
know? It was like, this is not necessary to do all of this solo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was working through it, you know, and the driving and the playing and the taking things on myself was all kind of, I think, part of just working through these really difficult emotions.
Was it, it might not be true at all, that often when these things happen, I've done it before, where we go like, this thing has happened, therefore I want to make what I'm doing almost harder than it needs to be. It's like a sort of weird form, a very, very strange form of self-flagellation of going, I'm gonna fucking do this. I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna. And it's kind of a bit like sort of Reese Witherspoon in that movie where she walks along the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, I love that film.
That is a good film, actually.
Yeah, it's good. I just think she's a great actress.
She's bloody brilliant, anyway, isn't she?
Little tangent.
Yeah. Reese Witherspoon, shout out. Ever want to come on the podcast? Yeah, I know you listen.
No, you're listening, Reese.
No, you're listening. Don't you pretend.
Why do you not have any friends? That, I got that wrong. Why do you think you've got no friends, Reese Witherspoon?
There are lots of reasons. Okay. But yeah, that sort of like self-legend, or not, I don't even know if it's that. I don't think it's particularly the right term, but the thing of going, the struggle is so real that I don't, almost the idea of making something easier for yourself feels like slightly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of have to go, it's quite primal, I think.
Yeah.
It's like a bit of a kind of, I don't know, maybe cultural appropriation, but the kind of walkabout, you know, thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Just get stuck in and get it done. And like somehow it's going to be a transformation
yeah.
Or like you'll come out of it and you'll just be okay,
yeah,
which isn't right. Don't do things
don't do that
when you're struggling. I think it also was like, you know, if I don't bring people into this situation, I don't have to talk about how I'm feeling. I don't
100%,
have to like,
yeah,
I don't have to kind of be honest with how difficult and sad and rubbish this is.
I wish there was a different word than control, because control, and I've spoken about this before, I think control just sounds like it's quite an ugly word,
mm-hmm.
and it has different connotations. And I think in instances like this, it is about control, but I wish there was a different way of saying it, because if I was trying to explain this the other day, if someone says to me, that thing that you did, I'm really upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm going, I don't think that's quite fair.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that maybe that's you're sort of bullying me a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Even if I sort of know that's the case, mm-hmm. I'll go, oh my God, 100%.
Yeah.
And I take all of it.
Yeah.
Because if I carry the pain, mm-hmm. I can control it.
Interesting. Wow.
I can control the situation. I'm taking the hurt away from them.
Yeah.
They don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have it than leave it with them for it to grow into the blob.
Yeah.
And take
something
over.
Something else that I can't.
That I can't control. Because if that festers and grows, it's going to mutate and it's going to spread to all the other people. And then I'm going to lose all my friends yeah. all over again or whatever. So it's like the weird thing of control of going, if I don't have anyone else around me, I can deal with my own emotions. I don't have to deal with anybody else's.
Yeah.
And this is enough. This is easier to deal with.
Yeah.
Even though it sort of makes it harder.
Yeah, so strange, isn't it? It's very counterproductive.
Oh, it's so weird.
I think that's definitely really a really good way of putting it. And visually, I see that's definitely what I was doing. The Lonely Summer,
yeah.
I'll call it. But it was incredible. I had so
hot
many...
Hot girl, lonely summer.
I had so many, like, amazing moments.
Yeah.
But then also... Yeah, I had a lot of breakdowns and it's interesting how things kind of ricochet throughout your life. I mean, I was signed to a major label during this time as well.
Mm.
Well, I'd already been signed, but I was still signed to this major label. And like that was also all falling apart. And
right.
I also like wasn't really talking about that with anyone in my life.
That's frightening.
Yeah. And so again, I was having these beautiful moments and then the end of the year ended with them dropping me. And so
dear Mr. Music Industry, stop it.
Girly Lily, crazy. I actually find them both very inspiring on this topic. But it's also rubbish that we have to then be inspiring on this topic.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, so it was really like this, the start of the year, learning this news, someone slowly kind of like leaving my physical reality. And then also all of the things that I felt like I had been working towards and that I, you know, that because of what I'd been putting in, I should be getting out.
Yeah.
We're also just going to shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they weren't. But at the time it felt like it.
Yeah, of course.
And yeah, I think it just like it was a very like slow process of pushing good things out of my life because things were going wrong or things were becoming very difficult and not going to plan, I should say, best laid plans.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think by the time it got to May, actually, I was the lowest because the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
But also I'd gotten to a point where I knew how not to deal with it and I knew not what not to do and was able to very quickly almost pushed everyone away but very quickly realized that what I actually really need is good things in my life, good people in my life and to pour a lot of like love into myself and fill up all the spaces with as much kind of as much love as I can, you know, because that's really what we all need, right? Is like love and connection and feel understood. And if you don't tell anyone how you feel, no one is going to understand
you. It's literally always a case of going, do I feel safe and do I matter? And that's literally it. Do I feel safe and do I matter? And so it is the instinct to just push people away. I really struggle with trust. I don't trust that if I'm not like my best or like being the best for someone else that they're gonna fuck off. And so I then go, I'm gonna take myself away first, which obviously isn't healthy and people are far better than that. People are far greater. But I sort of like the thing of going, you know what not to do, even though we don't know what to do. It's almost by like, a trial of elimination. Process of elimination of going, okay, that's not good. That's not good. And eventually we'll settle on like the right thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
In what ways did you deal with the grief? Did you have any coping mechanisms that you found really helped you or?
Initially, audiobooks.
Love it. Any particulars that we can shout out?
Well, I started listening to Bell Hooks, actually, which is quite intense for a...
Bell Hooks?
Yeah, Bell Hooks. Amazing author. I think also Harry Potter.
Always.
You know?
Mr. and Mrs. Dursley.
It's just so... It's such a safe place.
It's so... I completely, completely agree.
Yeah. So there is, you know, I was like, let's learn some things with the Bell Hooks. And then I was like, let's...
Let's just be safe for a second.
I don't want to escape, but like, let's just, you know, pretend we're in the Wizarding World.
Yeah.
So I think audiobooks. I also... did, which was really, I really tried to invite this in, which was just to reach for music, even if what I was writing was like awful and like way too sad and depressing to ever see the light of day, reaching for that process of songwriting to just get things out and like understand what I was feeling. That's always been how I've done it. And I was really grateful in those moments that music was there for me, like it's always been there, you know, and that like everything last year and being dropped and having to kind of like build myself back up and doing this tour, that nothing had changed there. That was really encouraging for me. So yeah, I'd say that. And then also just, I guess, my friendships and my family, you know, I'm not the only one. Grief is quite selfish, I've discovered, actually.
Yeah.
And or that's been my experience so far. And obviously I'm not the only one who's lost someone. So also trying to talk about, you know, how I was feeling with the people who also loved Campbell and miss him as well.
So I know you've got a sister who's in the States. Is there, are there any more of you?
Yeah, I have an older brother too. He was with me actually as well up in the Highlands. So we had that kind of moment together, initial like day or so together. So yeah, he's been an incredible support as well, and hopefully to each other. So yeah, I think, you know, people, music, and comfort, things like art, audiobooks, it's just it's always nice to feel embraced by a story.
Exactly.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
It's often when we're at our absolute lowest, when things feel really, really frightening, and if you're very, very lost, is often things like when I have my breakdown, poetry, even just like snippets of it, some kind of rhythm, bright paintings, watercolors, anything that utilizes the senses in a way of bringing you back to the present or reminding you that things still exist and things existed before and will exist again.
Yeah.
There is something very, very healing about it, because as much as there are, you know, wonderful books about grief and wonderful self-help books, occasionally when you're really deeply in it, it is a little bit like you're getting punched in the face by it, and you're like, I can't absorb this. No. What I need right now is just a few, I need to look at something that's gonna spark my creativity or spark my brain again, or I need to just look at a few words that rhyme or something that makes me laugh or something that is really safe from my childhood.
Yeah.
And just doing the really tiny, tiny little things that bring you back to the present and remind you that you still exist.
You're still here.
You're still here.
Yeah.
And that it won't always be like this.
Always be like this. Yeah, that's really beautiful. I definitely agree. I feel like also something that I really struggled to do for the last year during Campbell's illness, because I was visiting him like basically every month.
Yeah.
Flying up to the Highlands and then back down, doing my things and then back up, was make plans for the future and like make plans with my friends, my family, my partner. So I feel like that was also a kind of way I found of creating a new existence without Campbell in it, was making plans and actually looking forward to things.
Yeah.
You know, and allowing myself to look forward to things.
Yeah.
And I think it's not good to live in the future. So the present is the most important thing, but
it's not good to live there, but to understand it still exists.
Yes. And to be excited about to be excited about things was really great, because I think I'd shut a lot of that down for the year, you know, because I was like, no, because at any time I have, I'm going to be in Scotland.
And that's
my priority number one.
Everything's on standby.
Everything was on standby. So it was also really a good way for me to cope, was to be like, okay, what should I do? What does summer look like? What does this look like? What can I do to create experiences with the people who I've put on the sideline for a year?
Yeah.
100%.
I think that's really important. That's a really good point, guys. Everybody, like, we were going to mention as well the grief cast. Have you listened to the grief cast?
No. Tell me about the grief cast.
We're going to do a pod shout out right now. I can't. I don't have it. Carriad
Lloyd.
Carriad Lloyd, who hosts a podcast called The Grief Cast, and it's about grief.
Amazing.
About and with different people who have lost loved ones in different, you know, different ways, and how we cope with that, and, you know, different ways, and how, because it's such an individual process. Same with all of this stuff. There is not a one size fits all phenomenon of going, if you have lost someone, do this thing and it will work and make you feel better.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. And what it's, and I wish there was. I wish there was a big fucking overcoat that you could put on and be like, oh, I'm warm now. So here we go.
Step one.
Woohoo. Get a coat.
Get a happy jacket.
Get a happy jacket. Or, you know, have a bit of a nervous breakdown and end up with a little fluffy black clap in your life.
It's so interesting, actually. Really, one of the things I thought about in the weeks after was getting a pet.
Yeah.
It's very, like, I think it's a very natural instinct, and a healthy one, actually.
Yeah.
I just have the tiniest flat in the world, so
can't
do that right now.
But, yeah. This is Mickey, who is a big part of this podcast. He's molting all over me. He has been such a lifesaver.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. He look like I think he looks like Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh yeah, that's so true. The big green eyes.
Yeah, this is why my boyfriend keeps being like, Night Fury. He wanders in the room.
So cute. If anybody wants to lend me their cat to look after,
that is such a good idea for a business.
Yeah. I'm free and I love cats.
He's very, there is something about animals. And I think, again, it's like I was saying about utilizing your senses when you're feeling really lost and really out of yourself and disassociated in a way of bringing yourself back to the present.
Yeah.
Something with an animal, and there is an actual like living thing, living, breathing thing purring on you, covered in hair, and being able to just be like, I can feel you, I can hold you, I don't know. There is something up, guys. Although I would say, if anyone's like really deep in it right now, don't go right in.
Yeah. Don't go and get cat if you're really, really... Yeah.
Give it a minute.
Give it a sec. But you're right. And they're also very smart. I feel like they know.
Oh, yeah. He knows.
You know? They know when you need them. And that's really special.
I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast yet, actually.
Do tell.
you can have an exclusive. I definitely talked about it on my Instagram, but I, a couple of months ago, had about 3 months ago, had a date with someone and seemed right, exhibiting all the green flags, seemed okay. Girl's got a wee. So he came here and we were, and like immediately he came through the door and Mickey, who doesn't, he's never hissed once. I've never heard him hiss. He only scratches like really playfully. He doesn't bite. He only bites playfully. He's never, ever been aggressive at all. And this guy came through the door and his back went and just like arched straight away. And already I was like, that's fucking weird. Anyway, oh dear. A trigger warning for assault, guys, please skip forward if you don't want to hear about it. This guy came on really, really strong. Basically, no. I was asking him to stop. He wouldn't stop. I was pushing him away, asking him to slow down. He wouldn't. Which point, Michael Catley here,
yeah,
gets up and gets him in the face.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
the hero
of the day.
And this guy then was like, wow, what the fuck, and kind of backed off. Mickey got in between us, his back was up, he wouldn't let him near me. If he moved, he was like pouncing. Wow. At the right, he has never ever.
What a smart cat.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
It's what, you know, what was weird is that it was almost like Mickey sort of saving me in that way, kind of overridden. My God, for goodness sake. I'm like,
overrode.
Thank you.
I don't think that's the right one.
Overrode this whole situation, because I was like, it's sad that this isn't novel for mm-hmm. me. This is something that's happened before. It almost mm-hmm. didn't touch the size. And I kind of was like, that's really sad that yeah. we're like that. But the fact that he did what he did and that just, it's animal instinct.
It is animal instinct. It's yeah. also quite a good metaphor for the people in your life who really care about you mm-hmm. and know you mm-hmm, mm-hmm. as well, you know, because like obviously a cat is there in the moments where people aren't necessarily there.
Yeah.
But also like, you know, you brought something good into your life mm. that is like a protector, a buffer, mm. or something for you to feel really safe around, something for you to look after, and then in turn looks after you.
Yeah.
So Mickey, the metaphor.
I mean, I cry sometimes. I was crying a few nights ago and I looked at him and went, Mickey! And he was like, what? Like, stop it. You're fine. And actually, that was, to be fair, I was totally fine. But it's when I do really need him, he's definitely there. But I think it is a good metaphor, because there were, you know, the friends... My best friend, a couple of... I lost a lot of people when I had my breakdown. But friends who have stuck around, they did say, like, back when it was really bad and I was drinking so much, they often wanted to, you know, talk about it, and they didn't really know how they could do it. Mm. They didn't know how to do it, but they would sort of slide it into conversation in some way about being like, oh, alcohol, blah, blah, blah. And it was their way of like trying to protect me and also noticing those things.
Yeah.
And yeah. in hindsight, I'm like, God, they just like, people really care.
They really care.
People really they care. They really do.
Hello. So cute.
It's such a getting little cute.
Mickey kisses. Yeah, they do care if you let them. And I think it absolutely is such a tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last couple of months, everyone who's reached out, because I did eventually share my loss, like, it's not in a big way, but yeah. in a small way with my community. And yeah, you really do see who also knew. They were like, I thought that there's something I yeah. didn't realize, you know, I wish you'd told me.
And yeah,
I
was yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably
yeah.
should have told you. But yeah. They do.
Because it would have been okay.
Would have been okay. Yeah. And it probably would have made, you know, the months before a little bit easier. But this is why, you know, this is why I think in part of the reason for you doing this is to see the beauty in yeah. real hardship and
yeah.
the lessons learned in rock bottom. And I think that was my hard lesson in like letting people in and also just recognizing that there's strength in being soft and yeah. being vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And being like, actually, I'm showing up and everything's not perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so I played a beautiful show, but actually I'm also crying. And and I learned that, you know, I've definitely, that lesson is fully sunk in now.
It's kind of this point in the podcast that we sort of turn to that in terms of going, when something really, really awful happens, or something that is just in some way momentous, a little bit life-changing, what happens in that moment, how we feel, and ultimately taking a little step away from it and moving on somewhat, or being or in the process of moving on, being able to look back at that and seeing what served you and what didn't, not necessarily being grateful for the moment itself, not being grateful that you lost someone so close to you, not being like, wow, that's a brilliant thing, but going, I am grateful for what I learned about myself and how I can carry these lessons forward to benefit my life in future and be able to see things. And 2020 hindsight is just a powerful shamer. It's just like, it's fucking tough because you go, I wish I could have done that in that situation, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it also means that you can go, you can take a step back and then go, cool, I can use this and I can be so grateful for that. And I also just think that, like, him being like your biggest supporter, there's no way in hell he was like you doing such a beautiful, wonderful tour at that point, like the end of his life. He must have just been so happy for you. He must have just been so happy.
He was just very, he was very, very proud.
Imagine there was like, no, if you were like, I'm not going, he'd be like, you yes, you are.
So that's the thing. When I showed up, like from the first, I think I'd done two shows and then I flew up within 6 hours, which, I mean, someone beat me and I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
Let me know, because I think that's got to be a record.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you have like a private jet, but I was just, you know, EasyJet. Yeah. Shout out.
Nice.
I think that, yeah, he showed up and he was like, what? He was what are you doing? Like, literally in hospice, like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I've come to see you. You're welcome.
Yeah. And he's like, you idiot.
And he was like, what about that? And I was like, it's okay. Because I said, I was like, I can stay.
Yeah.
Like, I will just call my tour manager and say, I'm staying.
Mm.
I'm really sorry, but I can't. And he was like, no, you have to go back and rejoin the tour, you know? Mm. So, yeah, I think that, you know, very proud. And also, you know, it's so funny though, because he is just such a swerver of the compliments, very, very selfless, very nurturing, generous man.
Mm.
And no matter how many times I told him, like, so much of where I am is because of you, he was like, no.
Yeah.
He was like, no, it was all you. And I was like, no, but like, it wasn't.
Like, it was literally.
It was literally like you. You know, he said that, you know, I had the love that for music that was there, but, you know, in a very physical way, as a kid, you need someone to be there with you. You need someone to drive you places. You need someone to, especially in rural Highlands.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was beautiful to be able to do that tour and complete it and then be with him and come home and say, you know, okay, I did it, and now we can just be together. So yeah, it was really like I'd say like it was just the last thing he gave me was that time.
Yeah.
And he gave me so much in his life.
Did he play music as well?
He did.
Did he?
Yeah. He actually started a salsa band.
I love him.
In Inverness.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Called Orquestra del Latina del Norte. So like
the
Latin Orchestra of the North.
Nice.
And it was really great. And he ran that. He played saxophone, which is the coolest instrument.
That is the coolest instrument
in the world.
That is. I went to Ronnie Scott's once and I remember looking at the saxophone and being like, holy shit. Yeah. Well,
so cool.
All other men will pale in comparison to you in the future. Fuck.
You just cannot get better than the sax.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, there's just a lot that I'll take forward from that. From that relationship, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he had such a capacity for helping others and like such a sensitivity for people. One thing that the band always said about him was just how comfortable like you made everyone feel, like they could show up and just play how they played, you know? It wasn't like he wasn't running a tight ship, you know? It was like everyone's here to have fun and play music and be together. And I just think that That's such amazing qualities.
It's such an amazing quality in a human.
Yeah.
To be able to, fuck it, I don't even, I'm crying. Like being able to, how the people around you feel says so much about the human themselves. And like, and guys, I don't care. I'm sure there are lots of you who'll be like, oh, shut up, you dickhead. But honestly, I'm a big believer in things just not ending right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happens. Of course no one does. But I believe that these people stay with us in some way.
Yeah.
I think it's really wonderful to hear a story about oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
No, please don't apologize. I was like, I cannot cry today. I was like, you got to get it all out.
God damn it. This is like the one place it's supposed to be.
It's beautiful.
This is mental health comedy. hearing a story about a really wonderful relationship with a step-parent, I think it's really special and really important because a lot of the time we don't hear that. And step-parents, if Disney has anything to say, step-parents get a pretty bad rap.
I know. And, they're always evil. Yeah.
And so often they're not. And it's a really wonderful story and a really beautiful relationship. And I'm so happy that you had someone in your life who was so supportive and you're able to carry forward in what happens in the future.
Thank you. I couldn't be more grateful for him and won't forget ever the capacity for love that he taught me, and also just the self-acceptance, and also just it's amazing to see how resilient we are.
We
come through something and grateful for that. Grateful for him.
I just love that you're on tour with Casey Melier as well. That's just, it's my favorite thing in the world because I think it was at my brother's wedding. My mum kept coming up to me and going, this is the closest thing to crazy.
Such a beautiful song.
Because she was like, that song is about you. And I was like, I want to be crazy. Thanks very much, mum.
She nailed it every single night. Yeah. And also just to say as well, if it hadn't been such a wholesome, beautiful, friendly, kind tour, oh my gosh, I would have left it.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it was just not, it was such a wonderful experience.
And the universe really granted you something.
Yeah, she was on tour with her new son, you know, so it was like, she was touring with her family. And I think that it was also such a timely experience for me to learn how beautiful this industry can be, how accepting, how people really work with you. You know, she had a engineer touring with her, front of house engineer, Bryony, who they'd known each other for years. She also had her son on tour. That kind of longevity and family, chosen family.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful to witness.
Yeah.
And they didn't really know anything I was going through.
Yeah.
Obviously I was there as like a professional,
but
I felt like I was able to cope with it because of the amazing environment that they created.
Very held by that environment.
Very held. Yeah. It was just, I managed to feel like able to go out every night and put on a show, which is so incredible. And I did truly love it. Although it was, you know, you can't isolate good things in your life. You can't be like, oh, okay, so I'm just having a great time right now.
That's
not how life works. But yeah. It was beautiful.
At this point, because I like to ask the question, what are the things about you as a person? We've talked about other people and how brilliant they are, but what are things about you, Tamzin, as a person that you really cherish and love and value?
Oh, that's such a lovely question. Let me think about this. I
Honestly, it's first. Some people, the way people react to it is so good. Alex Mitten was like, I love my pecs. Like, my buys are great. He just didn't know how to react. And Chris Campbell was like, I just love everything about myself. Amazing. Wow. He could say absolutely anything.
I love that. I feel very intensely, you know, and it comes out in my songs and comes out in my music, which is a gift, but I think, a gift to me, I mean, to be able to have that relief. But I think I love that I can feel things so strongly, and that, you know, sadness is the other side of loving people and loving life and really wanting to lean into the fullness of
experience. Yeah.
And I think that I do like that about myself. I can see all of the colors.
Yeah.
and this experience, this loss has only, I think, only made that all deeper, you know, only made my connection to that all the more deeper. So yeah, I would say my capacity for human emotion and
amazing.
Therefore hopefully understanding and relating that to other people as well.
Yeah. It creates huge empathy, huge understanding, lack of judgment. I think it's a really, really beautiful thing when you've experienced it yourself. If you're someone who sees and feels things fully, the way you're able to relate to other people and the way you're able to make other people feel at ease, I think, is a huge gift. It's a real, real gift, and not everyone has it. And I was saying to someone the other day, my mum's friend was like, I've never had my heart broken. I was like, whoa, man. And there was part of me that was like, you lucky bitch. But also at the same time, I was like, no, do you know what? If I'm being put here to experience this life, I'd rather have felt all of it.
Yeah, true.
Because it's awful. The pain that we feel is indescribable, but then the light that emerges afterwards, the relief, you know, when you've sobbed so heavily, and then maybe after it's ended, maybe an hour later, you'll go, and that breath is one of the most is such a relief and a release.
Yes.
It's like one of God's great gifts. I don't often use the word God, but it's one of those moments. That and being the feeling you get when you do a wee, when you really need a wee, are like two of the universe's greatest treasures.
Like a really good yawn as
Great yawn.
Like, love it. I'm exhausted, but this yawn feels good.
That comes with a great stretch when you're like,
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And then also at this point, we like to ask, it's a little portion we call thank you letters.
Mm-hmm.
You're expressing gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three, but something or someone for which you are grateful.
Good question. Oh, there's obviously so many people. but there are actually so many people. But I would say can I say two people?
You can say as many as you want. You can list the entire phone book if you'd like.
Maybe I'll say just more than two people. Yeah. But I would say my two best friends were just relentless in their support all throughout the year, through the music thing, the dropping thing, all of the changes. One of them, Anna, came to the funeral. She didn't have to. She didn't need to. Didn't ask. She came. She showed up. And Liv was my soft landing. She took me in the week after. I went to stay with her and her family in Scotland. It's just such a haven there. You know, and those, I'll just never forget like how they were there for me.
Yeah.
My friend Jamie also came to the funeral, and that was again just not needed, not necessary, and it was so beautiful to have them there on the day. And then aside from my amazing family, my partner Ashley, who I pretty forcefully tried to leave out of what I was going through.
Yeah.
And he was relentless and was there for me and held me and loved me when that's really just everything I needed in those moments. And so, I think super, super massive thank you.
I'm so
yeah, we're going.
Okay. It's the people. Fucking hell. It's the people who literally stick around when you're saying like no, yeah,
like go away. I just want to be in a dark room alone. Yeah. And they're like,
and they go, nope, not happening.
Or like, I'll come into the room with you, and we can both be here.
Yeah, we don't have to talk. We don't have to do anything. I just like. I'm not gonna leave mm-hmm. this realm. Mm-hmm. I'm not leaving your space.
Yeah.
As much as you're telling me to go.
Mm.
No. And it's hard. And those people who are just like really, really incredible are able to see beyond the circle that is encapsulating right now, but beyond that wider space of going, I need to exist here right now and not leave entirely. But I'm going to exist here and still be there and be there to welcome them back into the light with no judgment or, I don't know, want for something in return.
Yeah.
I think that's really incredible. Fucking, I haven't got to the point really on this podcast where I've been like, don't cry, because usually I'm like, this is gold. Stop crying. But in this one, I'm like, keep it together. Thank you so much for all of what you have said and what you have shared. I think it's a really, really special and very, very beautiful and very, very vulnerable thing to do. And I'm so grateful. I think everyone listening, who I'm sure there are many people who've been in similar situations, will be very grateful as well. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you for having me. I'm officially a big fan of the podcast.
And big friend of the pod.
It's wonderful to talk to someone with so much to share and so much that I can learn from.
Thanks. I'm going to link all the stuff below so you can go and find everything. And also, I've been listening to the music all morning and it's fucking fantastic, everybody. It's fucking fantastic. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
If you or anyone you know is struggling or needs help with the issues discussed on Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends, please visit the podcast bio where you will find contact numbers with people readily available to give support. Please get in touch with your stories at either contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at Emily_Lang_UK or at Why Do You Think Podcast. To have your story or your thank you letter read on the podcast, please put survivor story or thank you letter either at the top or in the subject line. We really want to hear from you. We don't care if it's a catastrophe story or a small win from your week, your favourite place, person or thing. We are here for all of it. Don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.